Welcome to episode 27 of Understanding Latin American Politics, the podcast. I am Greg Weeks. I'm a political scientist at UNC Charlotte. And today I am talking to Robert Funk, who is assistant professor of political science at the Instituto de Estudios Públicos of the Universidad de Chile in Santiago. So, Robert, thank you for taking some time.
Thank you. How are you doing?
And you are in the Chilean media a lot and elsewhere as well. And I've seen in the past year or so, you've been trying to explain to Latin American audiences what Donald Trump is all about. And so one of the things I want to do today is just kind of get a feel for that. Now, but before jumping into that, I've started asking everybody the question of what got you interested in studying Latin American politics in the first place?
Right. Well, I was born in Chile. I grew up in Canada. And I wasn't really into Latin American politics as I was growing up or as I was doing my undergraduate in Canada, my undergraduate studies, although it was always there, you know, at the time that I grew up, I mean, Chilean politics was always very much present. Either, you know, during the dictatorship, during the transition, I remember seeing images on the news of demonstrations in the early 80s, but I wasn't really kind of professionally interested in it until I went to grad school. And then I got, it was a time when democratic transitions were taking off all over the region, and it became a bit more interesting to study. And that's basically how I came back to it.
Okay, so just sort of sliding into it. It's interesting to hear people have all different kinds of reasons for it. But obviously, your Chilean origins make a big difference.
I've found there's almost always some sort of personal connection somehow.
Yeah, no, that's often the case. Now, thinking about Trump, focusing first on Chile, what's been the response in Chile about Trump's presidency?
Well, I think it depends who you speak to.
Sure.
Chile is one of the things that I've tried to communicate to audiences here and also, I guess, in the States to some degree is it seems to me that the United States is entering a period which is quite similar to what Chile went through in the 60s and 70s, which is this great polarization where you're either on one side or the other side and never the twain shall meet.
Sure.
And unfortunately, I think that the sad lesson of that for you guys is that it takes a very, very long time to get over that. We're still getting over it. And there are still families where people don't speak to each other. There are still, or where they choose just not to talk about politics because it's so divisive. And I think the United States is entering a similar period. And so if you speak to probably one group of people in Chile, they will say, Trump is somehow has tapped into. I have not found, I have to say, even among my friends on the right, I have not found people who are kind of ecstatic and jumping up and down saying this is the president of our dreams. I haven't seen that. What I have found is people saying, well, this is a natural reaction to the processes the United States have been going on for a long time. To the kind of the Democratic Party's abandonment of the working class. So there's kind of one group of people that tries to seek logical explanations for what's happened. And another group of people that obviously are not so, they're not that, they don't feel so in favor of Trump, but rather than be critical of him, the sense that I get is a kind of Schadenfreude. There's this kind of, haha, look, you guys are going through what we've gone through for so long, and now you're getting a taste of your own medicine. Now, there's a bit of that attitude more than kind of this, at least in Chile, I don't get the sense of this kind of crazy anti-Americanism. It's rather kind of just leaning back and smirking and saying, and enjoying the show.
In the U.S., at least, there's a lot of talk about NAFTA, but that's usually aimed, and the free trade agreement issues are aimed at Mexico. Is there any sense in Chile, any concern that the U.S. is going to pull back or tinker with trade with Chile?
There is some concern. When I've done media, for the most part, one of the questions is always, I mean, it's always the case and happens in the United States, and national media always wants to know what's the national angle of any kind of story.
Right.
And so they tend to ask, well, what do you think is going to happen with Chile? What do you think the implications are for Chile? What do you think the implications are for our free trade agreement and also for the visa waiver? And so there is some concern, at least in the media. And I think in more kind of official circles, they're kind of looking at it with a wary eye. They're relatively confident that, you know, when you're a small country far enough away, we sort of get the sense that they're not really on the radar. And certainly, if you listen to Trump's or the language coming out of the administration, there doesn't seem to be, you know, Chile just doesn't come up. It doesn't exist.
Right.
I think my explanation is, and what I have told people, and I don't know if I'm right or not, but my sense is that the whole thing with Mexico and NAFTA is not at all about it's not about NAFTA and it's not about free trade, really. It's about identity. It's about immigration. That's why it's a much more the Mexico aspect of it is much more salient than the Canada aspect of NAFTA. Because he's really, it's kind of shorthand for other issues that he's trying to bring to the fore. And Chile doesn't come into that. So I get the sense that, you know, that's not really going to be an issue. However, there's a slight chance, I would imagine, that if this administration wanted to make some sort of, relatively low cost demonstration of its anti-globalization credentials, one way to do it would be, for example, to chip away at the agreement with Chile, which at the end of the day for the United States might mean a few more expensive grapes in winter.
Yeah.
For quite important, but for the United States is not. So there's that slight chance of it if it got that far. But I suspect really, as I say, that it's more about local issues and local politics than actual trade policy.
Okay. And what's your sense of how the rest of the region has responded? Is it just vary, or is there any kind of unified thinking?
Well, it's very rare to find, quite honestly, to find in Latin America. I mean, those of us who study Latin America know that it's very, you know, it's so varied.
Yep.
And even with regard to Venezuela, you know, it's taken so long, it's been so difficult to get some sort of unified position on Venezuela.
Yep.
So I don't think we're going to really get a unified position on the United States. Everyone is slightly concerned and looking and wary, but it's early days, and everyone, I get the sense, is trying to save their skin. Even Canada, I mean, you know, Trudeau's performance when he went to Washington was a pretty strong performance, but you did get the sense that he was being very, very careful and just trying to watch out for Canadian interests. And I guess that's his job, and I think many countries in Latin America will be doing the same, and they're not going to be outwardly critical until they really know what the plan is with respect to their own bilateral relations.
Yeah, and I think that's true in this. The point about unity was that there was, I think, on the part of some leaders, probably more on the left, a hope that this would somehow bring Latin America together. But the Trump administration affects countries in such vastly different ways. You know, where Central America is pretty nervous, Chile, Argentina, you know, we might say, oh, well, we'll just kind of wait and see.
Right, I think that's true. There is another aspect to it, though, which is, and we're seeing a bit of that this week here in Chile. This week, Chile is hosting a meeting of officials, high-level officials of the Pacific Alliance, and also the members of TPP, or what's left of TPP.
Yeah.
To which the United States said they would attend. And there was some confusion when the Tillerson apparently responded and said, yes, we'll be sending a delegation. Nobody really knows what that delegation was, or maybe now they do, but at least until a few days ago, they didn't know because the U.S. trade representative had not been
so, right.
But
it's a good sign that Tillerson at least knew about it.
Right. Right. But what's interesting there is that, of course, China will be here, and you get the sense that there is this emerging group of TPP widows, I guess, or survivors who are continuing to talk and continuing to see how they're going to move ahead with or without the United States. And I suspect China is going to move in there quite forcefully. And so I think that's an interesting thing. You know, you see other countries that may be taking up the mantle. And for some countries, that could be a country like Iran, for example, which has really moved into places like Bolivia and Venezuela. And for some countries, it could be China, particularly those of us who are on the Pacific Rim, and beginning to take up the mantle of the role that the United States used to play.
Yeah, and I think that the question or the issue of China moving in is practically becoming conventional wisdom. So do you think that that's pretty likely then, that China will just expand these ties?
Yeah, I think, I mean, I certainly on the economic front and on the trade front, I think that's the case. But at least it depends on the country. For a country like Chile, the United States remains an important trading partner. I believe it's number two after China. There is a free trade agreement. So, and there are cultural ties, and there are, you know, there's no matter how involved China gets, it's probably, you know, going to be several decades before we're watching Chinese television in Chinese, whereas we do watch American television, we do watch CNN. So there is much more of a cultural link going north-south than there is going east-west. But on trade, you certainly get the sense that China is interested in having a more an investment in mining. That, you know, those are areas where I think China will be more prominent.
Do you agree with the idea that's advanced by people both in the U.S. and in Latin America that they see echoes of the region's populism in Trump? You were talking about the sort of the historical perspective, but do they see a you know, kind of an image of an Hugo Chavez or others in Trump?
Well, that's exactly why I think some people are leaning back and smiling, because they do see, when I say getting a taste of their own medicine, I think a little bit of that. They see the kind of leadership that perhaps the United States at one time used to promote in the region, no longer does. And on the other side, the type of leadership that emerged more recently, like Hugo Chavez, using, you know, populist language, moving away from perhaps a more responsive, the kind of responsible fiscal policy that they used to promote, the United States in the last, over the last 20, 30 years has promoted in Latin America. And that seems to be, you know, being discarded. So that's why I think they're smirking. However, there is an awareness, I believe, there is an awareness that the costs of having that kind of leadership in the United States and on the global scale that implies are much higher than the cost of having that kind of leadership in a country like Venezuela, no matter how important Venezuela or Chile or Brazil could be. So in that sense, there's concern. You know, there's concern regarding travel to the United States and regarding visas, regarding future business, and regarding just the world stability. There is a sense that there's some sort of clash coming, some sort of crisis coming, just because of the language. And the question is where that's going to be. Is it going to be a war in Asia? Is it going to be a conflict with Russia? What's it going to be? But so on the one hand, people kind of laugh a little bit at a style which maybe sounds familiar, kind of extravagance and sort of not being that careful with language. But on the other hand, a bit of concern regarding where this is all going to lead.
Right. And I was going to ask you about whether you thought Latin America would unite more than in the past, but we pretty much covered that. But let me ask, one thing that I've generally countered is the argument that the U.S. was losing influence. There's always arguments the U.S. is losing influence under Bush or under Obama. Do you think that that is a real issue for Trump? Is the U.S. going to be less influential?
Well, I also used to... I mean, my position on the U.S. loss of influence is not that the U.S. it's not that the U.S. has lost influence in Latin America. It's that Latin America is now operating on a global scale in a globalized world where the United States is one important but not the only player. And so it's probably the United States has lost relative influence because, you know, in the 1950s, no one was trading with China, and today they are. So
true.
That's just how it is. I do think, however, President Obama, in the early part of his presidency, gave a couple of speeches, one in Cairo, one here in Santiago, where he sort of tried to lay out what he hoped would be a shift in American foreign policy, And in Santiago, he said, you know, we have things to learn from you. We're not here as a big brother. We're here as an equal partner. And in many cases, and especially in countries like, with respect to countries like Chile, we have things to learn from you. We're not here to lecture. And I think there was a shift, even, you know, with certainly with Obama, perhaps with Bush, just because of the attention given to the Middle East, where people in Latin America did get the sense that the United States was paying less attention and was less interested. And I don't know how fair that is if you think about, you know, continued American involvement in what eventually led to a fairly pretty good resolution of the Colombian issue. If you look at, you know, the signing of the free trade agreement with Chile, which wasn't that long ago. So, you know, the United States is still involved, is still concerned. But as I say, it's attitude, certainly the change in attitude is something that has been felt, I think, by countries in the region. And that doesn't mean that they're going to say, well, okay, in that case, let's look to China to be we need a big brother and let's shop out for another patron. I don't think that's the case. But, I think the case of Venezuela, for example, is a very good example of how without some sort of dominant power in the region, it's difficult to get things done. You know, I think in another era, the United States, in good ways and in bad ways, would have worked to have a more forceful declaration or some sort of sanctions or something with regard to Venezuela. Today, that would not be so acceptable. The United States would not be willing to do it. So, as a result, you get this kind of uncoordinated and fairly weak response to what's a pretty dramatic situation in Venezuela.
Yeah, I was thinking when you were saying that Obama gave some speeches, including one in Santiago, that with Trump, we seem to have had, there's insults towards Mexico, and with the exception of one brief bit of attention on Venezuela, it's almost as if he has no idea what's going on in the entire rest of the region, or at least obviously doesn't care. Do you think that would be fair to say, that he just really doesn't care?
It's so hard to know, really. You know, I don't know what I really don't know what the priorities are. My suspicion is that for the time being, his priorities are domestic. My suspicion is that any reference to foreign politics, when he talks about China, when he talks about Mexico, these are things that that are aimed to reach a domestic audience for domestic purposes. So the rest of Latin America doesn't, besides Central America and Mexico, doesn't enter into it. So it's not that he doesn't care. It's just that it's not what his – I mean, it is that he doesn't care in the sense that what his care is right now is shoring up his domestic base. But that could change. You know, I mean, events have a way of – particularly in the American presidency, events have a way – we have to remember what Bush was like before 9/11, right? Bush was exactly – was a president who very vocally – had no interest in foreign policy, and he ended up dedicating basically his presidency to foreign policy.
Right. And I was going to ask you about the question of moving toward China, which you also already got to, but let me reframe that a little bit and ask if you think is it positive for Latin America to have all of these new partners for trade and investment, or does it matter that the U.S. is perhaps pulling back, or what's the Latin America view for that?
I'm thinking. I think it does matter. I think the United States remains a predominant or the predominant power, at least in the hemisphere. And, you know, geography matters. Geography, sure. China can be very important, but China's a long way away. And so the United States, for the United States to have such a dramatic shift. I mean, if you think about it, American policy in Latin America is not something that goes back, you know, to the coup in Chile. It's something that goes back 200 years.
Right.
And so it would be a very big shift in American policy for the United States to walk away. And there are also business interests. There's mining. There's You know, oil, there's all sorts of business interests that are, I quite frankly, don't believe will permit the United States government in terms of its policy to just simply say, oh, you know, we're more interested in, you know, Crimea. There are, and the same is true, by the way, for free trade. You know, I even in the case of Mexico, I would imagine that at some point there are an awful lot of American businesses that will start to make their views known regarding what the cost would be for them to reevaluate the free trade agreement with Mexico.
Right. Well, I guess now we're just going to have to wait and see when Trump finally makes a Latin America-oriented speech.
Right.
Because a lot of this I'm asking you to speculate because he hasn't said anything.
That's right.
Okay, we are out of time. I've been talking to Robert Funk, assistant professor of political science at the Instituto de Estudios Públicos at the Universidad de Chile.
Asuntos públicos.
I'm sorry, what?
Asuntos públicos.
De asuntos públicos.
Asuntos.
Ah, then I wrote that down wrong. my apologies. But Robert, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye-bye.